There are times when I'm out on a trail that I don't know very well, when if it's far enough in the woods, with the markers obscured by leaves or the paint faded, I can imagine I'm lost. And for a few delicious moments, I indulge in the discomfort of not knowing where to go or where I'll end up. Does that make me weird? Yes. For some reason, I've always sought that kind of wild uncertainty when some part of me, of course, also knows there isn't any real danger. But I can imagine that I will have to become braver, a part of the landscape. It gives me an excuse to stop moving for a while. Remember that adage, when you're lost, sit still? It gives me a chance to think about being found or finding. I realized that it started when I was really young. I lived on Route 131 in Waldo, about 10 minutes from here, in a little blue house that's still there, though now it's white. My parents built that home and brought me home to it from the hospital before it was even quite finished. And about 100 yards down the street was my grandparents' house. And between us was 700 vast acres of wilderness. At least that's how it seemed to me at the time. I was 5 or 6 when I decided I was going to brave the wilderness and make it to Grammy's house through the trees. And I still remember that being the longest walk of my life. I also remember the thrill of finally coming out of the trees and finding myself behind the old pole barn on my gramps' property. I was a little off course, but I knew where I was. My parents were not so thrilled that I had attempted this wild adventure without their knowledge. For some reason, they did not like the idea of me being lost nearly as much as I did. And I had great sympathy for them years later when Liliana wandered off in a Hannaford and I screamed her name in abject terror when I realized she was nowhere to be found, meaning I didn't see her 15 feet away playing with a bouncy ball. I think there's something about being lost that is good in and of itself, but it also serves to remind us how lovely it is to be found or to return home. There's a relief and a comfort, and maybe you know you've learned something. In researching for this service, I learned from Maria Popova in an article for The Marginalian that she was expanding on the ideas of Rebecca Solnit and Walter Benjamin, but what I learned is that the word lost comes from the Old Norse los. And what that means is disbanding of an army. And this origin suggests that soldiers would fall out of formation and go home. A truce, los, a truce with the wide world. I'd never thought of that. Who would have thought that allowing yourself to be lost might actually be synonymous with finding peace? In contemporary times, it's what Walter Benjamin describes as the art of straying. An intentional moving out of the familiar formation, a wandering in head or heart or body, away from what is familiar toward a deeper resonance that one might call home, that has nothing to do with a physical place. And I think that's why I chose that little penguin story today for the Time for All Ages, because little penguin needed more than his iceberg home could offer. Despite its familiarity or how long he had been raised there, it was only by him getting lost and then found that he ended up where he really belonged. And that thing wasn't a place, but a person. It wasn't loneliness, it was connection. And that's what I felt when I read the lines in Leslie Wheeler's poem from Our Call to Worship. I never thought a circuit would loop through me. I believed I was separate, alone, done with gods, but here it is. The way I found to pray is through my feet, sole bared to wooden floors, a rug, a slate, or buggy grass, sparking a current, a circuit. Not that the earth loves me exactly, but she wants me to return to the mess of my only body, praying from my head through my feet as I sink, unthinking ash into love's circuit. I think that all religious writing and much of poetry and story is metaphor, so I hope you're with me when I say that this isn't really about walking or feet. I hope in your minds, as good you use, you've learned to interpret the way that you need to interpret, to find the metaphor that works for you. And of course, Wheeler isn't really talking about being lost necessarily, but about returning home to oneself as part of a greater wholeness, a believing that we're part of that oneness we talk about, as long as we choose to enter into that circuit. And I would argue that one of the best ways to have that circuit completion is by first letting yourself stray, letting yourself get lost. And maybe there's a time in your life that comes to mind when you've had to surrender to the lostness, to the not knowing. I've never been more lost than when I was trying to rebuild or build anew my life with Liliana after my marriage ended over 3 years ago. I definitely was not feeling the adventurous spirit in the wilderness walk then, and my body did not quite believe that I was inherently safe. It was a real, though existential, loss at that time, and I did not want it. I wanted to know, I wanted to see clearly how it was all going to play out, that everything was going to be okay on the other side. I wanted to be sure and certain and clear for her and for me. But honestly, it caused way more pain pretending. It caused way more pain making decisions before I let the dust settle so I could see where I was. And because of that, maybe my return to myself has taken a little longer than it would have otherwise. I can't help but imagine that we've all had those moments at one time or another, a deep internal resistance to what is, and then striving to make that something else, which only drives us deeper into darkness and means that we stumble and misstep a lot more. These days, it seems, in fact, that humans in general have become pretty intolerant of letting themselves get lost. We want certainty, and we're willing to pay just about any price to avoid sitting in the discomfort of not knowing, of mystery and subtlety and nuance. In fact, it was Rebecca Solnit who said, "I worry now that many people never disband their armies. They never go beyond what they know. Advertising, alarmist news, technology, incessant busyness, and design of public and private space conspire to make it so. And taking back the meaning of lost seems almost a political act, a matter of existential agency that we ought to reclaim in order to feel at home in ourselves." If we never disband our armies, literally and figuratively, we never become a part of that circuit that Leslie Wheeler was talking about. We just keep ignoring the possibility of peace in favor of believing we know, in favor of familiarity, creating binaries of good people and bad people, heaven, hell, right wing, left wing. And the truth is, like the little penguin showed us, we can't be found if we can't be lost. And to be lost, according to Walter Benjamin, is to be fully present. And to be fully present is to be capable of being in uncertainty and mystery. And one does not get lost, but loses oneself, with the implication that it's a conscious choice, a chosen surrender. And then that nature, that thing, the nature of which is totally unknown to you, is usually what you need to find, and finding it is a matter of getting lost. I think it's true that allowing myself to be lost has taught me more about compassion and humility, strength and resilience than any other experience in my life. The freedom of naming what I don't know or I can't understand has brought me more peace and clarity than any amount of pretending, striving, overthinking, overtrying, or oversimplifying ever has. Life is complicated. And on the other side, just to make a point, surrendering to being lost doesn't mean waiting or sitting still all the time. It is plunging through that 700-acre woods, one step at a time, just doing the next right thing, not knowing if you'll come out all right, knowing instead that you have to try. Remember the famous Abraham Joshua Heschel quote? He was reflecting on the 1965 march from Selma to Montgomery with Dr. King in Selma, and he said, "Legs are not lips, and walking is not kneeling, and yet our legs uttered songs. Even without words, our march was worship. I felt my legs were praying." That's how we meet God or the divine, the holy, halfway. When we do things to serve others and ourselves, not knowing if it will really help. Sometimes movement in heart or head or body is our prayer to accept our own lostness and have faith in our ability to find and be found. I leave you with this quote from Rebecca Solnit. "To never get lost is not to live. Not to know how to get lost brings you to destruction. And somewhere in the terra incognita in between lies a life of discovery." May it be so. Amen.